Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. Teams across the continent are preparing for next month's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. The seven-time African champion Pharaohs of Egypt will host the Warriors of Zimbabwe in the opening match June 21st at Cairo International Stadium. The stadium will also be the venue for the Nations Cup final July 19th. Joining Egypt and Zimbabwe in Nations Cup Group A are the Cranes of Uganda and the Leopards of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Ugandans and the Congolese will play each other June 22nd in their First Nations Cup match, also at Cairo International Stadium. The Ugandan Cranes are training in Abu Dhabi ahead of Egypt 2019. Players and the coaching staff believe the training in Abu Dhabi will help them acclimatize to weather similar to that of host Egypt. Magumi Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
14 players, led by team captain Dennis Onyango, arrived in Abu Dhabi Monday afternoon. Speaking ahead of the departure, Captain Onyango said he was impressed by the fitness levels demonstrated by his colleagues that have been in training in Kampala for the past 2 weeks.
Of course, we've started our journey towards the AFCON. But the team looks in shape. The 2 weeks they've been in camp, they were working on the fitness levels.
The rest of Uganda Cranes players, including star midfielder Faruk Mia, who plays for Croatian side HNK Gorica, will join the team in the coming days. Onyango, who just guided his club, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, to leave the domestic championship, will be hoping that his recent return to form and his experience will help him and his teammates to perform well at the finals.
Traveling to Abu Dhabi is another step for us to acclimatize with the weather, which we believe that it's almost the same as the weather in Cairo. So, yes, we're looking forward to the camp and meeting up with the other guys who are joining us from their clubs. And, yes, try and work a little bit harder on our play and, of course, organizing ourselves and trying to get the right combination for the team and fight for the nation.
Uganda Cranes coach Sebastian Desabre says he will aim at getting maximum points in Group A, which has host Egypt, DR Congo and Zimbabwe.
We have to take game by game, to be honest, because we qualify for the next step on the first position, second position, or third position. All the game will be a final, because it's possible to be qualified with a 3 points, with a 4 points, but our objective is to finish first.
The Cranes will start their campaign against neighbors DR Congo on 22nd June. They'll play Zimbabwe 4 days later on 26th June and wrap up their group matches against hosts Egypt on 30th June. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magumi Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more African football news, the former president of the South Sudan Football Association has received a 10-year ban from FIFA, the sports world governing body. Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba, South Sudan.
FIFA says Shabir Gorge Alloy was found guilty of what the body calls misappropriation of funds while in office. Shabir denies the accusation and says the ruling was unfair. A 17-page decision of the adjudicatory chamber of the FIFA Ethics Committee accused Alloy of spending about $850,000 without clear explanation during his tenure as the president of the South Sudan Football Association. The document stated that between 2014 and 2015, Alloy approved $62,000 for non-football-related payments. FIFA says he must pay a fine of 500,000 Swiss francs, which is equivalent to $499,000. Alloy disputes FIFA's decision, saying it was based on mere allegations.
The financial report that they are talking about in 2014 and 2015
they are already approved by FIFA, and that's why all the financial assistance that was put on hold was released recently, and all development projects that are now in function. So I don't know how this report can come out on this time. After 2 years, when they took over the office in 2017, this decision is not the right decision that was taken by the FIFA Ethics Committee.
He says he has 21 days to appeal the FIFA decision.
I had a communication already with a law firm in Europe, so they are taking over all this responsibility on behalf of me. And also, I have hired a local law firm that will also take over all the cases that they are doing locally here.
Alay served as the president of the South Sudan Football Association between 2012 and 2017. South Sudan Football Association has welcomed the FIFA decision. Anthony John, the Secretary General for South Sudan Football Association, says FIFA decision to ban Alay will be implemented immediately. John says the FIFA decision will serve as a lesson to South Sudan FIFA officials. Amanyang David Mayar in Juba.
Thanks, Manyang David Mayar, for that report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to athletics, 2 days of road races in London marked the start of a long journey to their goals for two leading British competitors on the international scene. Mo Farah in the marathon and the national number one in the women's middle distances, Laura Muir. Their rivals around the world will be taking a keen interest in how they viewed their prospects for 2019, as the energetic Andy Edwards reports from London.
History books will show that Mo Farah won the London 10,000 for the seventh time, but this is more significant as a small step as he prepares for his next marathon, a title defence in Chicago in October, where he broke the European record last year. Farah spoke briefly in the mixed zone after his London win, with coach Gary Locke close by, and the pair appeared to be concentrating on the ultimate prize, the Olympic marathon in Tokyo next year. I have the impression that Farah's earlier mention of a possible return to the track for the Olympics, where he has won 4 gold medals, was a passing thought, and they are now going full steam ahead with the marathon. He has consigned the disappointment of 5th in the London Marathon last month to history, and what could be a different scenario now has priority for the Chicago build-up.
I think it depends on the field and how the race was run. Obviously, for me, London was tough this year, but at the same time, Chicago, I was with the leading group, I was there, and I kind of enjoyed it. I was taking on the race, and it was a different race. And in terms of the course, it's just, they are completely different.
As for Laura Muir, world indoor silver medalist at 1500 last year behind Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba, she continues to show all-round tactical ability as well as a formidable finish on the track. To finish 3rd in the Women's Westminster Mile on Sunday marked a return to competition, where we can expect to see the Scot in Diamond League action this summer before the World Championships in Doha. That will bring her up against Dibaba and, very likely, Caster Semenya. But Muir has believed she can race against anyone since she won a European double 2 years ago.
I think probably 2017, when I did the double European indoors the first time. And I knew I was kind of, the top in Europe at that point. And then I started, challenging the girls around the world and winning 2 medals of world indoors as well. So, I'm really, really happy where I'm at now, amongst those girls at the top. And hopefully I can get on the podium come Doha.
Look at the world top list for the women's 1500 for last year's outdoor season. And Genzebe Dibaba is top, followed by the American Shelby Houlihan, Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands, the Ethiopian Gudaf Segai, and then comes Laura Muir. There isn't much between them, but a big question is whether Caster Semenya will be among those middle-distance contenders, or if the South African makes a serious move up in distance, following IAAF rules on hyperandrogenism. What is certain is that Laura Muir and Shelby Houlihan of the USA should offer a strong challenge to the African ascendancy in the women's middle distances for this track season, culminating in the World Championships in Doha. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Elsewhere in athletics, the sports world governing body, the IAAF, has officially ratified the Ethiopian Yomif Kejelcha's time of 3 minutes and 47.01 seconds as the new world indoor mile record. Yomif ran that time on March 3, 2019 in Boston, Massachusetts. Before the Boston meet, the 21-year-old Ethiopian had narrowly missed out on breaking world indoor records in his two previous races. Yomif Kejelcha already is a two-time world indoor champion at 3,000 meters. 10 days ago in China, he won the IAAF Diamond League 5,000 meters race in Shanghai, where he clocked just over 13 minutes and 4 seconds. And I expect Yomif Kejelcha will be a strong medal contender at this year's IAAF World Championships, which will be held in Doha from September 27th to October 6th. Let's take a break now for this Voice of America programming announcement.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association on Tuesday named NBA Vice President and Managing Director for Africa, Amadou Gallo-Fall, as president of the new Basketball Africa League, or BAL. The BAL will feature 12 professional clubs from across Africa, and the league is scheduled to begin play next year. The NBA's deputy commissioner and chief operating officer, Mark Tatum, says, and I quote, "Amadou's efforts to grow basketball and the NBA's business across Africa have been extraordinary, and he is an ideal choice to lead the Basketball Africa League." Tatum continues, "This historic initiative will not only further enhance the game in Africa, but also provide new opportunities in media, technology, and infrastructure on the continent." Amadou Gallo-Fall was born in Senegal, and after helping open the NBA Academy Africa in his home country 2 years ago, he had this to say.
Some of the greatest players who ever played the game of basketball come out of the continent, but there was never a predictable path for them to achieve that. It almost happened by chance, by luck. So now with NBA Academy Africa, we want to make sure that young players who have a talent and passion for basketball now will have a path to achieve their goal.
That's Amadou Gallo-Fall, who was named Tuesday as president of the Basketball Africa League, or BAL. The new league is scheduled to begin play in 2020, and it's being launched by both the NBA and FIBA, the International Basketball Federation. Meanwhile, the NBA Finals will tip off on Thursday night in Toronto, Canada. The Toronto Raptors will host the defending champion Golden State Warriors in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. This will mark the first NBA Finals with games played outside the United States. And in terms of African influence, the Raptors can count Nigeria, Cameroon, and Congo-Brazzaville as part of their high-flying DNA, which has seen them soar into their first NBA Finals. Toronto's team president, Masai Ujiri, is from Nigeria, while two of the Raptors' big men, Pascal Siakam and Serge Ibaka, are from Cameroon and Congo-Brazzaville, respectively. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In European club football, Chelsea will play Arsenal Wednesday in the UEFA Europa League final. Fans hoping to attend the All-English final have experienced some travel problems ahead of the match in Azerbaijan. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Thousands of Chelsea and Arsenal fans from around the globe have descended in Azerbaijan for the Europa League final. The match will be played in Olympic Stadium located at the edge of Europe in the capital, Baku. And those who made the journey believe the effort will be well worth it.
Via Turkey. 6.5 hour wait in Turkey, and then about 14 hours in total.
To come here, the trip will cost about £3,000 in total. But once you're here, the people have been great. The city are doing a great job in putting on the finals. So, and you know, we'd never experienced Baku probably, so it's somewhere different to come to. So, really good.
I mean, it's a good chance for different people from different regions of the planet, I would say, to visit Azerbaijan, because it's, for me, it's located close by. I'm from Kazakhstan, so it's easier to visit. That's why when, I mean, English people get annoyed of this location, they have to think about the other people as well. We are fans just like English people are, so it's a good chance for us to visit.
Well, English supporters are a bit annoyed. Those who hope to fill the 68,000-seat stadium have largely been deterred from attending due to a lack of direct flights to Baku and an otherwise 2,500-mile trek over several days. Couple that with high ticket prices, and you end up with a fraction of English supporters expected to attend the All-English final. Earlier this month, Malcolm Clark, chairman of the football supporters group in the UK, spoke out against high ticket prices, calling them a disgrace.
The understandable excitement of the fans of those four English teams on getting to a European final will rapidly be replaced by worry and concern about whether they can get a ticket from their club. If they can't, how much they'll have to pay through the secondary market, and indeed how much they'll have to pay for the official tickets, whether they can get there at all, how much they have to pay to get there, whether they can find accommodation at a reasonable price. The problem is that UEFA doesn't see match-going fans. It only sees revenue streams, even though those match-going fans are essential to the product which enables them to gain this huge amount of revenue.
Both Chelsea and Arsenal were each given 6,000 tickets for the final, but they have largely gone unsold, and thousands of tickets have been returned by both clubs. Last week, Chelsea manager Mauricio Sarri offered his sympathy to the thousands of fans on both sides who aren't able to make the trip and said their absence will be felt.
For everybody, is better to play with 30,000 fans of Chelsea and 30,000 fans of Arsenal. You do this job for these matches, and so it's better for everybody that to have the fans with the team.
Meanwhile, travel concerns have plagued the Arsenal team. Midfielder Henrik Mkhitaryan will not be part of the squad in Wednesday's final. The Armenian midfielder decided against traveling to Baku for fear he could be targeted because of tensions between his home country and Azerbaijan. Arsenal is in full support of his decision, but last week, Nigerian forward Alex Iwobi told reporters Mkhitaryan's absence will be a huge loss for the team.
Yeah, I mean, he's contributed a lot for us to get to where we are so far to the final, but it's very upsetting. We wanted him to come, but it is what it is. We're going to fight and hopefully win the trophy, not just for us, but for him.
What did he say to the group?
He spoke to us today and said, well, obviously, he's taken a decision that he can't go. It was very upsetting to hear at the start of the training session, but we have to not let it distract us and focus on the final.
Mkhitaryan has made 39 appearances for Arsenal in all competitions, and his 6 goals this season helped Arsenal reach the Europa League final. Arsenal finished 5th in the Premier League, while their Chelsea opponents finished in 3rd. But a win for Arsenal on Wednesday would qualify them for next season's Champions League. So, as Arsenal's Stefan Liesteiner points out, their upcoming match is crucial.
Important for everyone, for the history, for us as a player, because it's an important title. We'll say that after, if you win also, that you're going to play the Champions League. So for the club, it's very important. For us players, it's very important. So we can prepare 100% this game. Yeah.
I was going to ask, what's more important, the trophy or the Champions League for next season?
Yeah, but it's both together, so both. So I think the trophy is more important, but it brings you also in the Champions League, yeah.
Who will lift the Europa League trophy? Will Arsenal make it into next season's Champions League? We'll find out when the Europa League final kicks off on Wednesday. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In early round French Open tennis action Tuesday, world number one Naomi Osaka of Japan overcame a slow start and outlasted Anna Karolina Shmidlova of Slovakia in 3 sets. And when I say slow start, I mean it. Osaka didn't win a game in the first set. 6-love, Naomi lost, but she rallied to win the next 2 sets. 7-6 and 6-1. Osaka is bidding for her 3rd major title after victories earlier this year at the Australian Open and last year at the U.S. Open. Meanwhile, American tennis star Serena Williams also overcame a rocky opening set in her first match on Monday in Paris, and Serena advanced to the second round. The 37-year-old Williams beat 28-year-old Russian Vitalia Diachenko in 3 sets. Final score from Paris, 2-6, 6-1, and 6-love. Serena Williams through to the second round. And that wraps up the May 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Prime Minister of Buganda, Charles Maiga. Buganda is the largest, most influential kingdom in Uganda. Buganda and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists from the University of Texas Austin and the University of Arizona in Tucson say they have found the remains of ancient ice sheets buried in layers 1.6 kilometers beneath the northern polar cap of Mars. Using data gathered by the Shallow Radar Instrument on NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the researchers found that each layer of polar ice was topped with a coating of windblown sand as the planet warmed. Writing in the journal Geophysical Research Letters, the scientists say the layers of ancient ice and sand, like layers on a cake, provides a record of the red planet's past climate. The growth and melting of the Martian polar ice cap is thought to reflect changes in the planet's orbit and tilt over the years. The scientists say that if the newly found ice were melted, it would cover Mars with water at least 1.5 meters deep. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
voaafrica.com.
News, features, music from Africa and around the world. You want it? We have it on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.
All day, all night.